Hi, this is Joel Richardson, founder of Soul Joel Productions. I want to thank you for watching this and all of our content on Soul Joel TV. Just keep it in mind, every time you see this logo, that's our stamp of approval to know that it's quality content. So thank you for watching this, and now enjoy the show.
Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
A martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Drink, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigodato, and with me as always...
Richie Byrne. What's up, brother?
What's going on?
It's Friday, thank God.
Oh, boy.
You got a couple? You're so fucking different.
Dude, this has been insane how...
No. This has been insane.
My hours are all screwed up. I don't know. We talked about it before, but I'm not sleeping right.
I'm sleeping like a baby.
I'm so jealous. I don't sleep good even though when everything's regular.
Yesterday I did a 4-mile walk, came back, ate dinner, had work to do, took a 2-hour nap. I almost missed our show last night. I did a 2-hour nap. I don't know what's going on.
I wish I could sleep good. I woke up today at like, I think it was like 3:30. I thought it was all the power went out, so the clocks were all blinking. I went down, made coffee, started my day, and I decided to reset all the clocks and realized it was 3:30. I'm like, 3:30. I'm already 2 cups of coffee in. Screw it, we're up. But today we got a super Friday. What a way to end the week.
We had a great week too. We had some good guests.
We had a lot of fun,
and we got a great guest today, man.
Huh? I'm pumped, man. Should we bring him right out?
Yeah, let's get. Are we going to show a video? Or are we going to him?
We'll bring him out first. This guy is the legend, Rich Voss. Everybody, Rich is in the house. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? You know what? Did you hear about this? It's so crazy on the news. I just read this. That actress got stabbed. What the? Reese?
Witherspoon?
No, with a knife.
Jeez. Oh, what? We got the joke out of the way.
Well, that's our joke.
that's my kid's joke.
That's my joke.
What?
She
found it online, but
she coughed right up to it.
Yeah, I've heard it before. Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
Here's the thing. Yeah, she tries to do her own original material. So she, you know, the other joke you did, I'm talking to my daughter over there, not the air. I mean, it's almost come down to where I'm talking to the air at this point, but, you know, anyhow, listen, I haven't seen you guys in a while, and that's good. I saw Richie at the governor's Christmas party.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot. Right. Yeah, we did. We ran into each other. It was packed.
It's so crazy when you go to a Christmas party. I'm so glad Colin didn't go this year because that made me the biggest act there. You know, it's so hard to try to talk to everybody, but I probably spent the most time talking to Richie at that party.
We talked for a while.
Yeah, we did.
Good to see you. I hadn't seen you in years before then.
Yeah, yeah.
So good to see you that night. How are you, man? So you gave us the joke. You know that you're supposed to have a drink, and I know
he's 30 years sober, so it's going to be a. There he goes.
34 years sober.
34 years. Congrats.
34 years sober. Yeah. All right. So
I did it knowing 34 years ago that someday, you know, things will pick up, my life will get better, and I'll be able to do a Soul Joe podcast. I don't know. Like, I don't like Soul Joe. It's so Soul Joe, another slobbering word I slobber on. Hey, Raina, come here and wipe down my computer. So. I think I don't know if I've ever pissed them off or was an, because I remember emailing him. I got one of his newsletters that come hourly, and and I wrote to him because it seemed like he had some weekend gigs,
right?
And where I wouldn't have to get on a plane,
right?
And I wrote to him, but I probably went through the website email, mm-hmm. and I never got a response, which I'm used to. But I'm going, did I piss this guy off? Which I'm sure I did if I've ever met him. you know.
It's not hard to piss him off, and it's not hard for you to piss people off. So I'm pretty sure.
That's a perfect recipe.
Something happened.
Whatever. If I did piss him off, tough shit. When Rich Voss emails you, you get back to him.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right. Right.
I'm doing
the best comic in the business at your pay grade.
Definitely. Yes. Let me tell you something, too. And right this month alone, I sold as many tickets as Kevin Hart and Chris Rock. So
that's true.
What's good about this virus. No comic is passing me now.
No. No, you're right. I was thinking that, too. I'm like, it's even. We're all on an even plane right now.
I on Facebook, do you ever read, like, people put on Facebook, 10 bands I've seen, one is a lie.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to put 10 clubs I wish close, one is a lie. And I was going to put every club that won't use me. but I don't want to put that, and then I die from this, because then they'll get last laugh. So I got to make sure I stay alive. Then I could put stuff like that up. And make sure my calendar is full.
I'm going to say right now, that was the greatest answer to "What are you drinking?" that we've had on the show.
The greatest answer.
Did I step on a question? I'm sorry.
No. That was perfect. That was great.
What are you drinking, Mark?
I have vodka and blueberry.
Vodka and blueberry. And in honor of Richie's 34 years of sobriety, I'm doing coffee.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, nice. There might be a little cologne in it, though. I am Irish, after all.
Okay. You know what? I don't want to say what pussies you guys are, but why don't you have, like, what type of crack or meth are you doing Fridays? All right. Be real men. Anybody can have a drink, but sell your mother's car to get high. All right. Then talk to me.
Richard, speaking of coffee, Richard, it was like my second day working at a club. And you were talking, I don't remember who the other comic was, and they were like pontificating on their theory of comedy. And you're like, how long have you been in the business? The guy goes, 20 years. He goes, great, give me a cup of coffee. I was sitting at the podium. I was like, it was like my fourth day. And I'm just sitting there like, this is how they talk to each other. I'm in trouble.
I said that to Chappelle when he was 16. He always remembered it, too. He always like, you know what he said the first time he started comedy when he was like 15 or 16, down to DC. And I remember working Garvin's, and he came in and someone goes, this kid's funny or whatever. Yeah, shut up. Oh, I guess they were right. Yeah. They were. Mark and I, Mark came up with a great punchline for me when we were in Cabo.
Mexico. Yeah. Cabo.
It was unbelievable. I mean, the punchline, it's one of my best bits, but the punchline is what makes the whole bit, and he came up with it. And the bit is, and I'll tell you the punchline he gave me, which I don't usually rat on myself, but we had drivers driving us anywhere we wanted to go, and I play golf in the day. Mark probably didn't get up because he's fall down drunk. So,
he was still drinking.
Mark was having a great time.
Everything was free.
Huh?
Everything was free.
We were having breakfast, like omelets with crab meat on it, or sushi. It was insane, the food.
And who was the gig? What was the gig?
It only happened once. JJ Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
James DiBenedetto.
James. I know. I always go, but his comedy is JJ Comedy. Do you think JJ Comedy and Soul Joe Comedy ever argue who has the smallest room in comedy? Oh, yeah? Well, I have a 12-seater. Oh, yeah? Yeah? Well, I have where you pull up to your in your car and someone throws a note at you.
You're like the best ball buster I've ever
met. Look, I'm already burning a bridge that's been reburned. I'm reburning.
See, yeah, you'll get booked now.
I'm burning tunnels. Don't worry. I got an acre of property, and when I open my backyard comedy club this summer, because nothing will be open where people can come sit on blankets and do, and the stage will be my deck. All right. Then people will be going, hey, Voss has a great club. Bring your own blanket. But anyhow, so we're in Mexico, and I'm going to this golf course, and the driver says to me, I don't usually drive. What I do is I can't even remember my own bit. He goes,
oh, the hurricane messed up some houses or something.
No. He goes, I do tile, marble, and tile, marble, and granite work. And I go, well, they're putting up hotels everywhere. Why are you not doing tile or granite work or marble or granite work? And he said to me, the problem is they're bringing in labor from other parts of the country that are working for less than one third of the money that I make. So that's the setup. And then Mark's punchline was so good. Mark goes, damn, even Mexicans have Mexicans. And it kills. I mean, it was kind of a long setup for that, but I threw some jokes in between to keep carrying this podcast. What I'm saying is...
You're out of breath.
I'm not out of breath now. I think it's anxiety.
Now, I want to tell you a story about you that has to do with the cup of coffee thing. We had back about, 25, 30 years ago, whatever, we were working together at Rascals. And we'd work together a lot. We'd work together a few times. And you came in with your daughters. They were kids. They were little daughters. These pretty, two pretty little girls, cute as can be. And he goes, hey, this is Richie Byrne. I told you guys about Richie. Remember Daddy told you all about Richie? What did Daddy say? When I'm into the beat, the two of them looked up and went, hack. I remember the angelic girls with that rich boss fucking hack. I remember going like, that's commitment to a bit right there. He had them, they knew, no matter who it was, they knew the timing. They hacked.
My middle daughter has such a great sense of humor. Like, I mean, so funny. When she was young, I took her to see a movie, and she's sitting next to me just cracking up in the theater. She's like, 10 years old. I go, this kid has a great sense of humor. My daughter over here, Raina, has a great one. Ellen, who is married now, Ellen, I think, is 28. We were going out to eat recently, and she called me and said, she was at the restaurant. She goes, are you coming? I said, well, not into a sock. But did you hear that? No, my other daughter. And she just started cracking up. You know, it's to have daughter. My oldest daughter is more of a kind of a stiff. Is Jessica more of a stiff than Ellen, you think? Yeah. Raina said, yeah. But Ellen has a sense of humor. Raina, come here. Say hi.
Raina.
Hold on. Can you? There she is.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey. Raina. It's Daddy's little girl.
Boss family, but it's a family show. I remember on stage, you did my variety show, and she was just born. She was in
at Caroline's.
Yeah, and you said this fucking guy's on stage, and I tell the audience, Richie just had a baby girl, and blah blah blah, and everybody claps, and Richie goes, yeah, I have a really early picture of her. A really early. And he shows me a picture of his dick.
Oh. I got to find that picture because that's when I was, things were good.
Yeah. I was broke.
That was back in the day.
That was just for me. Like, you didn't care that the audience didn't see the picture. Only I saw it.
Yeah.
And even told me, I'm like, what am I looking at? I go, oh my God. It's
Where are you guys at? Like, where are you at, Richie?
I'm in Long Island. I live like a couple of miles from Brokerage and Governors, like right in between. So,
do you have a house or apartment?
Yeah, house, yeah.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Mark, where are you at?
I'm about 40 minutes south of you. I'm in Ambler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he's far.
That's west of me, but Amboy. Wait.
Ambler.
Oh, Ambler.
Yeah.
If I went down 202.
Yeah.
Through New Hope or whatever.
Yeah, right out. I'm right by New Hope.
Oh, you are? Oh, yeah. A lot of frequent nights in New Hope.
Oh yeah, I love the nightlife.
Yeah,
Hamble is a weird name. It sounds like the old, like a gay magazine. Korean Ambler.
I don't want to start trashing Booker's. Doesn't that guy down there in Pennsylvania? I'll tell you a story. I don't want to say his name, but you'll. I don't want to say his name, but it kind of, if you think of Peppermint Patty, anyhow, the second half. So I worked for this guy a couple times. I did door deals. And, you know, so I didn't make a fortune, but I didn't have to get on a plane. When you don't have to get on a plane, it's a plus, especially when a gig is less than an hour. Like, the Stress Factory is like 20 minutes from my house. Yeah. It's the greatest gig ever.
Yeah, you know, I started when it got to no gas or no tolls. Like, when you didn't have to go over a bridge, that's when you know you've been doing it too long. When you're like, I don't have to go over a bridge, I'll do it for, you know.
It's great. And when you go, I can go home tonight. I don't just in a hotel.
Right.
So, I did a couple door deals, but the owner, Booker, whatever, who's been around forever, he's like, the first time I worked there, crushed. None of us are going to fail on stage. We've been doing this so long. You're just not going to fail.
Right.
Whatever audience, you know how to read an audience. I know I'm not going to fail. I just know it because of how long I've been doing it. It doesn't make me great. It just makes me experienced. So I know what I'm doing. So the second time in after the Friday night, he goes, I know my audience. Can you tone it? Whatever, do this or that. I go, And it's not the greatest gig. So like a year later, I email him. He doesn't get back to me. And then he finally gets back to me after a text or email and says, I love when we're going to go in another direction or this and that, because I don't want to pay the money I was getting. Even though it wasn't a ton, it was two or three times more than they would pay a headliner, probably. Mm-hmm. And I wrote him back. I go, it's a blessing that you're not using me again. Thank you. Because just the fact that I would email you for work shows that my self-esteem is falling apart. So I could show you the text. Oh, I left my phone in the other room. I got so many of these stories, and there's so many great club owners that you love, that you get, like Jimmy at Governors or Corey up in Rhode Island. I can name a million club owners that are the greatest, nicest,
nice people
to work with. But some are such fucking douchebags that, like, and just same with comics. There's great comics and there's douchebags like me. So there's this club in, this is so funny, and I think Bloomington, India. Anyway, I called a guy, and I don't think he was a fan of all the tough crowd comics, the ones that used to do tough crowd, because he thought we were all right wing. He's a real liberal guy, this guy, I heard. And I'm not right wing at all. If anything, I'm more left, but I'm moderate. I'm more moderate, okay? I'm not, I'm not Paul Bond right, and I'm not after industry left or whoever. Moderate guy. And there's nothing wrong with it. If that's your politics, that's your politics. I don't give a shit. I'm friends with Paul and I'm friends with people. You know what anyhow. Yeah. So this guy hated tough crowd comics. So I called him one day. He goes, I don't know if you're right for the room. I go, really? I know I can work your room. You know, I've done alternative room, Portland. See, I know I can. Then he says to me, he goes, well, I have used magic acts before. I go, did this fucking guy just compare me to a magic act? What the fuck? I have used magic acts before? So, okay. And I hung up and my wife's in the car going, you let that slide? I go, I heard it's a good room. So I emailed the guy. I emailed the guy for a year. He never got back to me. So finally I text him. I go, look, I've done this to him. I could tell you a great story. I text him. I go, look, I really want to work your room in a text. I wish I had my phone. I go, I really want to work your room, but I don't like you. So the weekend I'm there, can you try not to come in that week? And he wrote back, I'm good. I go, so I'll take that as a maybe. And here's one last story. This is to me, I fucking love doing these things. I don't care because I'm going to work. I worked a club in Denver, and the first two times, it was good. It was great. And the first time I went in, my money was a lot higher back then than it is now. You know, the business goes up and down. Sometimes your money's here. Sometimes your money's there. But you just try to stay relevant. That's all you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And put out, you know, whatever. CDs, do radio, podcast, do whatever to stay relevant. So the last time I was in, the Thursday night, I had so much anxiety and she wasn't there, but I didn't have a great set. And I think there was a comic watching me and it made it, anyhow, she wouldn't bring me back. She said, whatever, just wouldn't bring, okay, she wouldn't bring me back. So like 5 years later, 4 years later, I'm working a Syracuse Funny Bone. I like all those rooms. And the middle act, who was great, I think he passed away. He was, I don't remember his name, great act, great writer, old guy. He was an old guy.
Was it Mike Jacobs?
Nah, he's from Denver, but he was an older guy. He was, you know, anyhow, he said, I do a podcast with her. You know, he's milling for me. And he goes, I'll talk to her and see. And so I write her an email like a month later. Hey, let's, you know, try to start over from the beginning. Let's, you know, let bygones be bygones and see if we could start and work on a new relationship. Right. So I sent that. So no response. So I wrote to her again. I go, from your lack of response, it looks like you want to move forward. Here are some availabilities. Well, here are availabilities, right? No response again. No response again. So 2 weeks later, I write to her. I go, hey, look, I don't want to push my luck, but can I bring my own middle act? And I got nothing. How do you not have a sense? Even if a club owner hates you, how can you not write back and go, that was kind of
fun? That was really fun. Yeah. You know,
I just don't get it.
How do you not book somebody that does something like that?
I know.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, we've talked about this on the show that not everybody has a sense of humor.
No.
And most of them book clubs.
Yeah. What? And also, too, Bonnie said, like, I don't hang out. I don't drink. I don't hang out with, you know, I just don't do it. I go back to my room after the show, get up in the morning, go play golf and do the show. A lot of comics, which there's nothing wrong with it, nothing at all, are social, hang with the staff or hang with the managers or go out. And it's great if you can do that. I'm married. I don't drink. So that's not me. But if I was a single person, even if I would do it, even if I didn't drink, I would hang out and do whatever. You know what I mean? I just don't do that. And a lot of, and which is great because it's, you know, if you do that, it's great. What do you call it? Socializing is great marketing.
Schmoozing or whatever. Yeah,
it's good. There's nothing wrong. I wish I had a decent personality where I could go out and not piss everybody off. and you know what I mean, and not make somebody cry.
Oh, yeah. but you don't.
Here's I know. Thank you.
I mean,
you got to hear this story. This is a great story. You got to hear this story. So we're doing the Montreal Comedy Festival. So every whatever venue you go to backstage has a craft table set up with all the food, and someone comes in and does the craft, you know, whatever table they call, you know, with all. So it's towards, I get in there and I'm backstage and I'm looking, I'm going, look at this fucking hummus. It's hard as, look at this. Who made? And there's a girl there. I didn't see it. And she starts crying. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, no. I'm just joking. Right? I'm just joking. So I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, this and that. It's a beautiful craft table. If you like fucking hard hummus. Anyhow, so I didn't mean, she just cried over it. I mean, who cries if somebody trashed your craft table that was falling? So anyhow, we're back at Montreal the next year. I swear to God, the next year. And we have our daughter with us. So the festival said, oh, I can get you guys a babysitter to watch your daughter in the hotel as, you know, you do your shows. We go, great. And they go, she's done it before. We also get a knock on the door, and I open the door.
Oh, no.
It's that fucking girl. And she stares at me. I'm like, and this is a fucking year later. I'm like, oh, no, don't kill my kid. Please don't kill my kid.
Here's the fucked up part. You still left your kid alone with her.
I had a show to do.
I understand. You can listen. You can always have another kid, but the festival's once a year.
Yeah, I know. I know. You never know. You know, this might be the year things happen. This could be the year.
Rich, something that's pretty awesome is every time something cool in my life has happened, somehow you were there. I first started comedy,
you can never say that, Mark. Not even Bonnie can say that.
I'd call her down, but she's cooking. Then I have her. I got her doing some yard work after.
Good, go ahead.
I got married at Governor's. Rich was headlining that weekend. So we go down to do stuff with the club because we were getting married on the Sunday. And we go down and Rich was headlining. So me, Marshall Childs, and a bunch of other guys come down to Rich's show. Like, really? Let's watch a show and then, you know, and then we'll get ready for a wedding.
Are you still married?
Yep, two kids.
Get out. You got two kids?
Two boys.
Do you have kids?
Well, me, no. No.
And you have two boys? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got a 4- and a 5-year-old named Duke and Axel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have fish.
Well, yeah. But see, the difference is fish can't say to you, Daddy, when are you going to start headlining?
We're in the middle of a Zoom meeting. It was all of us, and we're on. And my 4-year-old comes in through the door, walks right over, makes sure he's on camera, moons everybody, and then takes off running. I was like, "That's my kid. That's my boy." Ass humor's always funnier.
Mark said, "Whatever happened with that movie?"
We have a clip. Before we go to the clip, I want to say you were one of my favorite people to work with because we had lines written for you. And then I just went over to you. I go, Rich, your only goal is to get Provenza out of this bar. And you took, I think we shot the scene like 5 times. Each time, completely different, one funnier than the next. We had to stop like 3 of the takes because the owners of the casino were laughing so hard we were picking it up. And we're like, guys, you have to stop laughing. Like, we can't have laughter in the background when a bartender's berating a customer. But I have the take we used, and then I have another one of my favorite bloopers.
Oh, God. I stink. I know. Oh,
dude, you were so good at it. Let's roll the clip.
Oh, yeah. You know, Ernest Hemingway used to sit in the oldest bar in Key West, Florida. Little glass of schnapps by his typewriter. By the end of the day, he'd have a masterpiece.
Hey, you know what? If you look around this bar, nobody gives a shit about Ernest Hemingway, all right? Let me tell you something, pal. At the end of your day, you're going to have one hell of a bartender.
No, I'm not, because I don't drink anymore. I'm clean and sober. I go to
really?
Meetings.
You see this right here? 30 years in the program. I used to suck dick for crap. All right, I never really... One time, I just kissed it. But let me tell you something, all right? You're gambling online in a casino. You're pouring rum from your flask. All right, you're a loser to the second power.
No, I'm not.
Hey, I'm not stupid. You're no Hemingway. You're not even Margot Hemingway. Matter of fact, tonight when I'm having sex with my wife, I'm going to think of you to keep from coming. Please, just leave. All right, just leave. We'll part as friends. We'll part as friends.
You know who used to get kicked out of bars all the time, my friend?
Yeah. Who?
Hemingway.
Yeah, good. Thanks. See you later. All right, give me a call. Let me know you got home safe. Thanks for the tip. Yeah. Fucking zero.
Oh, I stink.
You're so goddamn funny. Well,
that's the scene, right? That's the original.
That's the original scene. Here's one of the outtakes.
People that are sober get puppies. People that drink in bars pouring rum from their flask don't have puppies. Okay? Bye.
Dude, you crack me up so hard.
Years ago, Rich, you and I were talking about acting.
Uh-huh.
And you said, I fucking suck. Which I don't agree, but you're like, I suck. And I go, dude, how bad can you be? No, I suck. You go, let me tell you something. If they made a movie about my life, they would have an 87-year-old fat black woman to play me.
I'll tell you what. What's is there anything? Do you guys do anything with the movie?
So we hit some festivals and we got in a few festivals and we're Montreal reopened the short. So we're going to try to take it up there and then it got postponed. But if it after Montreal, we're going to just try to release it somewhere online because
yeah, do it online.
It was so goddamn funny. You guys were so good.
Let me tell you just. For me to do something with Provenza was, you know, Provenza's been in a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Overton was so excited to see you.
Get out of here.
When you bought, he was so goddamn excited. Rich Voss is coming today. Oh, my God.
He's another guy who's a legend in this business, Rick Overton. I mean, he was in Willow. He's been in a lot of stuff, too.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It made me look good.
Seinfeld episode.
Oh, my God.
As
a director, it was the greatest thing ever because I really didn't have to do anything. You guys were all so good. I just sat and watched.
I mean, the fact that you had Provenza, Overton, and when I heard Don Jameson, I said, come on. This can't be happening without Florentine? Get out of here. Here's two acting things.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, that was fun. I ad-libbed a lot of that.
Look at it. You even looked the part.
Oh my God,
that was actually good. During rehearsal, I know they were going, we have to fire him. But anytime when they say rolling, I know how to fucking We're in the movie. And of course, it won't be in theaters. King of Staten Island, Bonnie and I. We have a nice scene in that.
Oh, cool.
A Pete Davidson movie. And I'm going, oh, it's great. There'll be a premiere. Right. We could hang out. And now they're going to have to release it online, you know. And the whole thing is going to the premiere and all that shit. It's fucking cool. Two good acting stories. One, I got back from Aspen. I had bad anxiety when I was 40. I haven't now, but when I was 40, in Aspen, I had a lot of heat at this festival. I got back and my anxiety was, she goes, I have an audition. I go, I can't do it. I'm not gonna be able to do this today. I can't. She goes, you'll be fine. So I'm reading for the head of Fox casting or whatever. And I'm in there and you could see the sides in my hand like this. And you could see him shaking, right? She called my manager, the head of casting for Fox, and said, we can never see him again.
So Fox picks up radio gods. We have to drop you.
This was so long ago. So here's another. We're doing. This is a great story. It's got to be on video somewhere. I'm doing Opie and Anthony one morning, and me and Norton used to fight and argue who's the worst actor. You know.
I love that. And,
I remember that.
We used to argue because he always blinked, and he always fucking like. On all his,
well, you played Lenny Bruce. He played Don Rickles. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
So we're always arguing who's the worst actor. So I get a call the night before I'm going in from the producer, Steve. May you rest in peace. He passed away. Steve, he goes, we're going to have you do a scene tomorrow with Norton. I go, oh, great. Send me the sides. He goes, oh, I'll give them to you when you get here tomorrow. I'm like, yeah. So I get there. And I go, oh, you're going to do a scene with Norton. We'll see how bad you both are, right? a scene from A Bronx Tale, right? So I go, okay. So they have two mics set up on the floor. They go, we're going to go to break. And after break, they give me the sides now. Now, I have the sides, and I'm doing a scene. And I'm standing... You know, they go, after break, we'll come back and do the scene. So I go walk by the mic, and they cut back from break, and Norton's not standing next to the other mic. I'm going, what the fuck? And what? And what's his name? Kaz Palomar. What's his name? Palminteri walks in, and I have to do the scene with him, the writer, creator of A Bronx Tale and the star. So now I have to do the scene with him.
Yeah. Right?
And it's going so bad. And I look at him, you know, they're all laughing at me. I go, it's not me, it's him. He won't look at me. I can't connect with him. I'm not working with him. I go, I can't work with this guy. And I did a scene with him, and it was so fucking funny.
Story, Rich.
I stunk so bad. It's got to be online. I'm sure it's online. If you go O&A, Voss and Kaz.
Well, when you said you and Norton used to fight over who was the worst actor, like who sucked as an actor. I think people think like you'd go, no, you're worse. No, you were going, no, I'm worse. You didn't make that clear to the audience.
It's the exact opposite of every actor in New York.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, with acting, like the that we did for Pete Davidson's movie, King of Staten, one, the director, Judd Apatow, the directing was great. You know, if you do this, do that, it's easy, especially if you get to ad lib. If a comic gets to ad lib, you're going to knock it out of the box.
Right.
You know?
And the writer's going to feel like he's a genius because everybody's laughing at everything.
Yeah. But also, too, when people go, well, you're not a great actor, I go, well, I'm a comic. That's like telling a fucking brain surgeon you can't do root canal. I'm a comic. You know what I mean? I didn't study Shakespeare. I fucking am and I'm a decent comic.
But I would pray to see you do Shakespeare.
Oh, I'll do it for you right now. I'll do something.
That would be awesome.
I'll do something from The Tempest. I hope I film you. Ready? I'll do a sitting down from The Tempest. Oh, let me take my gum out.
Wow. That's how you know he's serious.
He's getting in character.
It's from The Tempest. Ceres, most bounteous lady, thy rich leaves of wheat, rye, barley, oats and fetches. That's all I know. I quit the play after that. Most bounteous lady.
That's the joke I told you last night, Rich. Richie, the world's worst actor with the biggest ego gets to play Hamlet. Starts out unwatchable. It gets worse. People start heckling. He starts his to be or not to be soliloquy. And as he's in the middle of it, he turns to the audience, goes, hey, don't blame me. I didn't write this shit, assholes.
But you've done a lot of amazing things in your career. I mean, you know,
you're also a director and a producer. You and Bonnie did a show together. Right. You did Women Aren't Funny.
Well, Bonnie directed it. I produced.
You produced.
And I was in it with her. I gave her Bonnie. Bonnie's fucking brilliant. Directing,
she's really
and
good.
Writing. I mean, she, oh God. Who's that
Bonnie,
hottie?
Bonnie McFarlane, your wife. We should. Because there are civilians watching this.
Yeah, she is brilliant. I mean, she's a writer. She was just a head writer for Nikki Glaser's show, but this came along and they stopped production. And she could sit down and write a fucking. She's writing a book now. I've been in lockup here for 45 days and I haven't written a new joke. And she's writing a fucking book. And then I talked to Colin Quinn on the phone. He's writing a book. Everybody I know are overachievers. Or maybe I'm just an under. But, yeah, we've done some great stuff. You know, if you look back, you go, and this business now, you have to create your own opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not throwing them at you. Mm-hmm. You got to create your own opportunities.
Well, now, in this day and age, they're like, you know, well, what do you got for us? It's like, you know, how many followers do you have? No one gives a fuck about
talent
don't care.
Or anything. It's like.
Actually, we do have a clip of the Women Aren't Funny. So people at home, if you're bored, go out and buy it and buy Richie Burton's special on Vimeo. But I think we have a clip of Women Aren't Funny. You can buy that on iTunes.
You guys are good at this.
Look, yeah, it's recording. So
no,
look.
It isn't.
Yes, it is. Do you think women are funny?
They're not f***ing funny.
There's more funny guys that I went to high school with who are like mechanics.
I'm female comedian Bonnie McFarlane, and I've heard women aren't funny almost as often as you're not funny.
Kitchens blows my mind. I mean, I just think, like, can you imagine if someone was like, are black people smart for Vanity Fair? Like, f*** you.
You're getting screwed all over the place. You get screwed.
I don't know. Whenever people are like sexist towards women, I just get super racist towards black people.
The thought that women become comedians because they were molested has never ever occurred to me.
The female lead of a comedy is this. Get a job. I can't do this anymore.
There are so many great actresses.
Richard.
Pretty actresses. Richard.
Professional.
I don't have a great soundbite.
Guess what that was? A male comic.
Come on, this is stupid.
I'm trying to do something, okay?
It's stupid. What are you trying? It looks like you're doing a butter commercial or something.
You're asking the right person because I think a lot of guys are not that f***ing funny.
Everybody's funny. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl.
Are you that funny too, shithead?
I am.
It is funny. I'm not wearing any pants.
I don't want any women in the movie. Women aren't funny.
That movie, you know, it's so weird because everybody said, don't make a movie. Don't do this. Every you know, a lawyer, don't do the movie. And we did that whole thing on our own. Made a fucking movie. That, I just got another check yesterday for $500. You know, because money keeps.
Where can you find the movie?
In Moses's house. That's how old it is. No, that
well, it's on iTunes for sure. That's where I got it.
It's on iTunes, but it was on Netflix for 2 years before Netflix was. You know what I mean? It was on Netflix now.
Right.
But we pretty much made our money back from a documentary, which is almost impossible.
Impossible. Yeah. That's unheard of.
And Bonnie had visions of stuff that we were shooting a year later down the road. But the best thing that we put together recently, hands down, is the roast, Voss Roast, which we put free on YouTube. This is the best roast you'll ever see. I don't know if you guys seen it.
Let's put a link in the comments.
It's Voss Roast. It's free on YouTube. This is a powerhouse of fucking comics. It's Murderer's Row.
Oh my God.
Florentine, Colin, Norton, Big J, Judy Gold, DeRosa, Bobby Kelly, Bonnie hosted it. I'm telling you, if you like roasts, this is the best roast you'll ever see. Hands down. And I'm not saying it because we're not trying to make money on it. It's free now on YouTube. So
that's great. Good for you, man. That must have felt good to have those people show up to treat you like the piece of shit that, you know.
Thank you.
Right when this pandemic hit, speaking of powerhouses, you guys were doing a tour, the Creeps with Kids.
Yeah, Creeps with Kids tour. Me, Florentine Bennington, and Bobby Kelly. And another show that, from beginning to end.
Just to start.
How do you even have an idea of how the lineup should go?
Well, I host everyone. I host it.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. And then Florentine, then Bennington, then Bobby. Bennington, everybody kills.
Yeah.
It just, from beginning, I walk out from the beginning as a host. The great thing with radio and Bennington and stuff like that, they're fans. They're coming to see you. The room isn't papered. It isn't somebody that was waiting at a bus stop to go, oh, fuck, let's go use these tickets. You know, they know who you are.
Yeah.
So already, you know.
The table's set.
And the show is just killer. I mean, my last show was right before everything started closing. We did Turning Stone up in Syracuse.
Syracuse, yeah.
And it was, you know, it was kind of scattered throughout, you know, because everything was packed, every show. And then this came along, and they were shutting everything down. Everything was already shut down.
Yeah.
But Turning Stone stayed open one more night. They were on the Indian reservation.
Yeah.
So they were Latin. And then they decided, hey, we'll shut down.
That's starting a huge tomorrow. Room.
Starting tomorrow, they shut, you know, the day after. So our last show was up there. And then you get a call that all your theater dates are canceled, you know, and which was during the winter, you know, February, March, whatever. You know, the summer's always slow, so you try to build as much as you can through the winter and the spring. Yeah,
and get through summer.
Yeah, and then get through summer. So now the whole winter and spring, you know, is canceled. And whatever. Hopefully we'll pick the tour back up, because it's just great working with your friends and doing stuff like that. It's so much fun.
I think I called you about coming to one of the festivals, New York Comedy Festival, and you guys were doing that show. And then I went and looked it up and was like, oh my God, I might skip a screening of my show to come see you guys.
We were supposed to do it at Gramercy. That was the next night. We were in Syracuse at Turning Stone, and the next night we were sold out at Gramercy. Sold out and canceled.
It was funny because you were doing Creeps with Kids, and then Tony V, Tom Cotter, and Tony V were all in Aruba. Oh. And it was like, and the whole cast was working somewhere. I was like, man, I want to be with you guys.
Yeah. I think this whole virus was a plan to really squeeze me out of the business.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
It is.
Playing effort.
Thanks, Obama.
I know. Obama,
Now, Rich, do you like to host? Because
I love hosting.
You're the best host, I think, in the.
You hosted, and this is really cool. Didn't you pretty much host the Woodstock?
One of the stages I hosted. There was the East stage, the West, and the East was the biggest. They were animals. My stage was good because I would get anywhere from 100 people to 60,000 or 7. You know, it was great. It was a lot of fun. But.
Well, we have a clip.
Oh, get out of here.
And if we get too hot, we can just smoke our shirts. There you go. Wavy gravy, huh? He's the man right here. I know one thing. I cannot follow in his footsteps. All I can do is learn from this man. And are we having a good time? Are we the best stage at Woodstock? The West Stage!
That had to be insane.
It was. I was losing my voice then.
I remember when you. I remember that hat.
Can't go wrong with that.
We had a trailer, and I had a little room in the trailer, like this, with a chair like this, my recliner. And then the rest of the trailer was for the bands right before, you know, we stayed in a hotel, but, you know, right before they went on it. So I walk into my trailer my side smoking a cigarette. Some guys in there goes, can you put that, get out of here. I go, fuck you. This is my part of the trailer. I go, you scram. Well, he was the lead singer to Buck Cherry. And they would have bet. I love that band. After they played, I went out and bought a CD. So he won. But let me tell you something. If you had a bottle of water, you could get laid there. probably the coolest thing, big event like that, I got a call to host at the Washington Monument. It was a recovery awareness. And,
I know that. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Dr. Oz was there. My friend.
Dr. Oz was there.
Yeah.
The only guy that traveled with somebody to do his hair. It's outdoors.
He did.
cement hair. I took a picture with him. This guy just spraying his hair.
I work for him. I do. Yeah. And we were talking about you when he came back. I worked with a guy.
He was a nice guy.
He is.
I took a picture with him. I met him. He's a nice guy. I guess if I had a traveling
hairdresser. I forgot you did that. Joe Walsh was there. Yeah.
It was so cool because it was maybe about 10,000 to 15,000 people right on the monument.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But it was Steven Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Sheryl Crow,
right?
Joe Walsh, some band The Fray. So I got to host, but I got to do at one point like 5 to 10 minutes of stand up. Now there was a lot of people in the audience in recovery, so I got to do material, and it was great. And then host, but at the end, Sheryl Crow, Steven Tyler, they all came out together and sang Come Together by the Beatles.
Right.
It was amazing.
Right.
Wow. It was amazing.
Yeah. Because my buddy Tim Sullivan was Dr. Oz's PR guy.
Uh-huh.
And so Tim had a lot to do with setting that up, I think, the whole show.
Oh,
so
really?
When he came back, he showed me videos of that, the Come Together, the view. I forgot about that, right?
It was so cool. Did you guys see that video? Maybe we were a week or 2 weeks into this thing, and they put a video together of the song by the band. Oh, it's so great. You got this video. I must have watched it 5 times. The song by the band. It's people coming in from all over the world.
Oh, wow.
With Ringo Starr. What's the name?
The Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, and they sing
that song.
What's the word?
Load off, Annie.
Oh, you got to look at this video.
All right, I'll check it out.
It's from people around the world, all doing parts of it.
Yeah,
it's so fucking it's so cool.
You know, I couldn't have you on the show and not sing a little because I know how much you loved it when I did that at my act.
That was beautiful. Take a load off, man.
Years ago, Mark, he'd come up. We'd run into each other somewhere. And before the night was over, no matter what, he'd go, where's your fucking guitar? One day, in my head, I even thought, I never played guitar. I don't have. And then he turned to me and goes, Did you even ever have a guitar? You're going to have a fucking guitar.
I hate to tell you guys, but I might have brought a song parody kid into the world. My 5-year-old takes all the songs he knows and fits the word butt crack in it. And he thinks it's the greatest thing on the planet.
And he's getting 20 million hits.
Yeah.
I'm opening for him now, so I'm getting.
My daughter got 2 million hits on TikTok for something she did.
You know, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
She comes on our dumb podcast. She'll go, she'll come in. She's kind of funny. She'll go, send me money to rein that PayPal, whatever, so I can get. Some fucking guy sent her $500.
What?
Yeah, now she just bought the Xbox something, whatever it's called. God, am I old. Switch or something.
Nintendo Switch.
Oh, Nintendo. Did I say Xbox? I stink.
I couldn't tell you what it looks like. I just hear people talk about it.
Wow.
So some rich guy's listening to our podcast and just, whatever. I we do our podcast. Here's a great golf story. We do our podcast. Boy, am I a yapping fucking Jew bag. We do our podcast, and I'm on radio, whatever. So I get a fucking email, I get an email from this lady. She goes, I see you're coming to California. If you want to play my golf course, let me know. And I get these all the time, so I kind of blow them off. But for some reason, I go, let me look into this. So I do research and find out she's a therapist. You know, she's not some young radio listener. She just likes our podcast. So I email. We go. I'm in L.A., and she takes me to Bel Air Country Club.
Wow.
Wow.
That's right, unbelievable. Up.
I mean, this. So then.
I didn't know they let Jews in.
Yeah, I hit my star. No, Bel Air, you can play if you're just, you know.
And in L.A., I think they're welcome.
Yeah, well, some courses they're not in L.A., believe me.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, and some courses they don't let celebrities in either. Yeah. There's courses out there. Anyhow, so we have lunch there. And other. So the next time now she becomes friends with us. And, you know, when she's in New York, we all have dinner with my kids and her and her. And we become friends. So next time we're having lunch, she goes, my father won 5 Oscars. I go, what? And she's not in the entertainment business. She goes, yeah, John Williams, the composer.
Oh, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. So I had to call Bonnie and ask who he was. But, so, and her brother's the lead singer to Toto.
No way.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the lead singer.
Star Wars, wasn't he?
Yeah, Star Wars, Schindler's List. Yeah. So when I was at the Oscars, I met him there. You know, she introduced me and stuff. But it's so cool because you wouldn't get that from this person. She's just a regular person.
Very cool, laid back.
Cool, just, you know, plays golf. And, you know, you meet so many golf and being on the road, you meet so many. I play golf with this guy in Vegas. He just built a $15 million house. These people are so fucking rich, yeah. You know. He takes me to his house. It has an elevator. It has one of those running water, whatever they call them.
Lazy River.
A lazy river.
My favorite thing on the planet.
Talk about the Oscars really quick. That had to be cool, writing for the Oscars.
Yeah, both times. The first time was the coolest. The first time I wrote both on the writing staff for when Chris Rock hosted. And it's when I got the gig, like I was doing Tough Crowd. And some girl that works with Tough Crowd goes, oh, I heard something, some good news for you. And I go, what? So she goes, I have nothing, right? So I forgot about it. So I'm standing outside Stand Up New York, and Chris Rock comes out and says, so you'll be writing on the Oscars. And he's hosting. I go, get the fuck out of here. He goes, I'm hosting it. I'm telling you. And I said, I go, I'll believe it when I see it, right? So I think he saw me performing at the Comedy Store or something. But so I ended up getting the writing gig.
Wow.
Awesome.
Apollo was one of the writers. Bill Sheff that year. There were some good comics. So, you know, we're back. That one. Oh, I got a good story. But that one, you know, we got a gift bag, which I pay taxes on.
You told me about the gift bag.
It was worth $100,000. If you used every certificate in there, you know, it was amazing. You know, it was my job every day to call these people and get my gifts. So, I'm backstage at the Oscars, and fucking Dustin Hoffman is talking to Barbara Streisand. So I walk over and I kind of cut Barbara Streisand off the talk to Dustin Hoffman. And like a jackass, I go to Dustin Hoffman. I go, I also play Lenny Bruce. I compared my 4 lines to his Oscar nominating performance. And I walked away like a fat chick. Hey, Jesse, you know what you and I have in common? Nothing.
It would have been great if you turned to Barbara Streisand and said, I also played Fanny Bright.
Yes. And I'm a Jew, too.
Oh, my God.
I turned my back to Barbara Streisand.
That's so great, man.
And the Oscars were so cool because we're at, after the Oscars, we're at the governor's ball. And I'm sitting at the table, all the comics. And this was probably the best part of it. Some guy walks over with an Oscar in his hand and in front of all the comics and DiPaolo and everybody. He goes, "Oh, man, you're funny. You're a funny guy." And just walked away. And I, that happened in front of the comics. Someone holding, I don't know who it was. I think it was a director.
That's you.
Yeah, he walks up to me with his Oscar and goes, "Oh, you're real funny." He must have saw me somewhere. But just the fact that he said that in front of the other comics.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. Well, yeah. Hey, fuck these peasants.
I'm coming to your party, right?
I know I'm writing on the staff for Chris, but they write for me. Richard.
That has to be awesome to have one of the biggest names in comedy walk over to you and say, like, "Hey, you're going to write for me."
It's weird. Yeah, and the thing is, working with Chris, it's great because he pretty much is coming up with everything. You might just add a line here or a line there or that. Every now and then you might get your own bit in. But he loves comedy so much. If you hang out with him, you're talking either sports or comedy. You know, we'll sit there and talk about great joke writers and great comics. He loves comedy. He really does.
Right.
You know, I've walked down the street with him in New York, you know, and he'll take pictures with people. Sometimes he's in a rush, but he's basically, you know, I was working on a movie with him, and I think when Madagascar, he was one of the voices on, I think, Madagascar.
Right. Right, one of
these little kids were going nuts.
Yeah.
They're going, I don't know the character. Yeah. Oh, me and him were walking down the street one day, and some guy stops and goes to me, "Man, you're fucking funny," and doesn't even recognize Chris, and just says to me, "Oh, what a good feeling." I go, "Hey, you see that, buddy? Huh?"
Chris Rock and Gilbert Godfrey are the two most filthiest cartoons. If the kids only knew.
I was walking down the street with him. Oh no, that was Tony Rock. But anyway,
yeah. I mean, listen, we all have great stories in this business. It's, you know, I mean, too bad it's over now. But
it's fucking over. It's over.
I was bitching when Google became a thing, and you had to hear some young comic retell a story he Googled, and you're like, "I was actually there," and that. But they'll tell you what happened. But now this is the end.
I think it's going to be a good year until they find a vaccination. I mean, no one's going to. Yeah, I'm going to go sit in a club and listen to a fucking comic.
Would you go work a club? I'd work a club. I just wouldn't go near people.
Yeah.
And you'd have to. We'd all have to have our own microphones.
Yeah, I said that in a post. You got to bring your own mic.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it'd have to be clubs like the Funny Bone where the green room's attached to the stage so you don't have to go amongst the people.
Yeah.
And get the fuck out right after.
Oh boy, my CD sales are going to drop completely. That's what I make all my spending money after the show, selling CDs. If I could do comedy tomorrow, look. I don't stay isolated. I got to go food shopping at times, and I got to go to Lowe's or Home Depot. You know, those are the two places I usually go to, supermarket or Lowe's, to get stuff for my house and my property because I'm working on my property. And I keep away from as many people as I can. I wash my hands. But what's the difference if you go into a supermarket or go into a comedy club? If you stay away from it, I don't know. Who the fuck knows?
It's funny because we had a doctor on the podcast who talked about this. The longer you're in around someone who's sick, the better chance you have of getting it. If you're in and out, it's kind of not as easy. You know, you're not going to just walk by somebody and go, "Oh my God, now I have it." But you're sitting in a room with someone
and they're laughing right over your shoulder or blowing it at the stage.
See,
it's even worse.
Right. I'm going to go back before any of you because nobody laughs when I do my
Do you remember when smoking in the club was a thing?
Yep.
Do you remember you'd be on stage and people would laugh and it would billow smoke right at the stage?
Smoke through the lights. Remember that?
Yes.
And I smoked and would go, Jesus Christ, I can't even, this is too much.
That was my tell. After a punchline, I take a drag off the cigarette. You know, yeah, I remember smoke. I remember smoking on the plane. But yeah, when it, like, I guess every outdoor comedy, I got to start my my backyard comedy club.
Yeah.
Outdoor comedy is, you know, someone, I think somewhere, someone, this guy is doing a comedy at a drive-in or something. Del Pizzo, I read online.
Hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, did I slip and call him a comic? I'm only kidding.
he's been reaching out to me lately on Facebook. I hadn't talked to Frank in years. And
yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot from him on Facebook.
I think he lives in Florida. Yeah, he's doing either drive-in or something.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
In Florida, they have no rules.
About you.
What's that?
I was at Caroline's one night, and it wasn't crowded. There were like 30 people in the room, and you were there, and Norton was there, and Florentine. And you got introduced, and I was sitting in the back of the room with Norton and Florentine. And they started going, every joke. You made me think of this because you said you had to tell. They go, like every joke you do, they go, And your 14 had that deep voice, And you bombed so badly. The audience started listening to them.
Yeah.
And it was the fun. And you knew why you were bombing. And you were like fucking sweating. But you were laughing. Dude, it was the funniest thing. They totally fucked you. It made me laugh so hard.
Keith Robinson and Bobby Kelly did that. I was at the Village Underground. I was at the Cellar. I go, I got a spot at the Underground. And they go, we're going to come over and watch you bomb. And now I'm like, and then Liz, who's the manager, she goes, yeah, I'm going to come too. We're going to watch you bomb. And Nikki Glaser's on before me. Kills. And she's dirty, but funny as hell. She killed. And she was filthy, but funny. And I'm not saying everything she does, but that night, and it was hilarious, So I'm up next. And my first three jokes do okay. Now, I don't know that Keith and Bobby are in the back of the room on each side of the room. Then I did a dirty joke, and they go, So now, I didn't know this. So now the back of the room is like, oh, man, that's true. And my next couple of jokes, they're going, And I don't know they're back there doing that. And I'm completely losing the audience. And I start snapping on them. I'm like, what the fuck? The girl before me was talking about her fucking pussy for 10 minutes. Then one girl turns to her friends and goes, what's going on here? That's how audiences aren't the smartest sometimes, where two guys can groan and turn a whole audience around.
Ruin it for the whole night, too.
And it's the same with laughter, how laughter is contagious. Mm-hmm. If people are cracking up, then you're going, oh, this must be funny, you know. But there's nothing better than watching a comic. I've watched Dennis Ross sweat on stage so bad. Sweat pouring down.
When you know you're good when you bomb and you get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
That's years. So when you're on stage going, man, this really sucks. Because you're always fucked up about it when you're insecure. But once you're good enough, you're just like, all right, fuck it. It's you guys. I don't give a shit.
I took one on the face. We were doing a Shuler gig, me and Norton, when he started, and he did all right. And I went up, and I'm bombing for 45 minutes in front of that big glass fucking that room where you can look outside, and even people are driving by could tell I'm bombing. And he had so much fun watching me fucking bomb for 45 minutes. Hey, listen, I used to do black rooms. I mean, the toughest rooms on the Peppermint Lounge, and you had 30 seconds. I've seen people bomb so fucking bad that they would leave rooms and go get fucking job applications. What white people? You bomb in front of white people, you can handle. But black people,
I bombed once at the Columbus Funny Bone in front of a black audience. It was so bad they played Phil Collins. I can hear it calling in the wind as I walked off stage.
I don't want
the first white comic on Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah. Cool. I know a comic that's a major comedy star now, major. And he was at the Peppermint. This room was the scary. There was 500 people in the front row sitting like this. You know, I mean, everybody who was who's who in Jersey would go there to the Peppermint on Thursday. You know, Shannon Briggs, a boxer, would be there. Queen Latifah, Naughty by Nature. This was the comedy. And this comic, who's a major act, was on stage bombing. And some guy just walked up to the front of the stage and started plucking chicken bones at them like that, going,
"Oh my god!
how do you deal with that?"
How degrading that you're like going up and bearing everything, and they're just throwing chicken bones.
I was like, "Where do you think you lost them?"
And that's Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. You guys are awesome. Rich, stick around.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.